May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Where is God to be found? This is the question we all ask. Every religion faces it in some way, and I find myself asking this question on a regular basis. As a priest, as a Christian, what can I say to people who suffer, who live with the reality of pain and violence? Where is God to those whose lives seem trapped in a prison of darkness? Now, these very questions are at the heart of our readings today. This morning passage from 1 Kings tells the story of Elijah, the great prophet of Israel. Elijah is on a desperate journey to search for God. He's on the run in fear for his life at the hands of Queen Jezebel. Up to now, Elijah had known great success as a military leader and a prophet. But now he has been reduced to a shell of the person he once was. The great prophet is intimidated by his opponents and filled with self-doubt. He is angry, alone, and afraid. And we can imagine that Elijah felt abandoned by God. And so he journeys to Mount Sinai to confront God face to face. And along the way, he stops to rest. He settles under a solitary tree and announces that he is done. He's done with everything, done with life, and done with God. Only God is not done with Elijah. And God lets him know this in an unusual and surprising way. As Elijah sleeps, the angel of the Lord speaks to him, "Get up and eat." Elijah wakes up to find a freshly baked cake and a jug of water. He happily eats his meal and again falls asleep. The angel visits him a second time, saying, "Get up and eat," giving us a foretaste of where God might be found. A bit further on in this chapter is, to my mind, one of the most beautiful and revealing passages of Scripture. Elijah continues his journey and arrives at the mountain ready to face God. And what he finds is surprising. There was a great wind, but the Lord was not in the wind. There was a great earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was a great fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, there was a sound of sheer silence. From there came the voice of God. Now, I love this image of the voice of God perceived in sheer silence. To me, this shows how God's action in the world cannot be contained, that his presence is revealed when we least expect it. Silence can be beautiful and peaceful. Silence can also be painful, even dangerous. For suffering and silence is a reality for many people. We hear daily of men, women, and children whose voices are silenced by poverty and injustice, victims of war, refugees, prisoners of conscience, people persecuted for their beliefs. Teresa of Avila, the 16th century spiritual writer, knew about the loneliness of silent suffering. And she did not shy away from raising the problem with God. She wrote in her journal of a difficult time in her life when she was forced to cross a river, dreadfully ill and weak with fever. Struggling to find the strength to take the next step, Teresa raised her voice to God, saying, "Lord, amid so much suffering, this comes on top of the rest." And a voice responded, saying, "It is because you are my friend." "Ah, my God," she said, "that is why you have so few friends." Now, this may have been Teresa's attempt at humor, but her experience also touches on something important about our relationship with God. We are free to question God, to cry out to him in pain, to wonder at his mystery in the midst of silence. For God does not shy away from suffering, and life lived with God is anything but safe. It is often difficult for us to face suffering, both our own and that of others. We may feel we need to hide our pain or try to avoid the subject altogether, pretending we are happy and that all is okay. But in a world full of injustice and pain, for our faith to be real and not merely sentimental, we must address the question of suffering. And as we do, we will see that this is just where God meets us. And I believe this is what St. Paul experienced as he walked with others through the life of faith. Questions of God's existence, his presence in the midst of suffering, is prominent in many of his writings, including today's reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Although the authorship of Ephesians is uncertain, most biblical scholars believe that in a similar fashion to a great artist with his students, Ephesians was written either by St. Paul himself or one of his disciples. Either way, the message is the same. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. In Christ, we have been brought very close to God. Through Christ, we are empowered to walk in the footsteps of God. And with Christ, we are free to live in the light and love of God. To imitate God means to live life in intimate connection with God. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." This is the first of the so-called seven I am sayings of Jesus. The other six are familiar. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. Taken together, these sayings unveil the startling reality of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Here in this statement, we find the heart of our faith. The message is simple. Jesus is the bread of life, and because he is, we are welcomed into the very life and heart of God. This past week, I enjoyed a visit from my brother and his family. It was their first time to London, and so we did all of the touristy things. The London Eye, the Tower of London, Buckingham Palace, Westminster Abbey, to name just a few. Now, I greatly enjoyed these visits, and what I enjoyed most was seeing London through their eyes, with the wonder, joy, and surprise of new discoveries. For through them and their experience, I was given a new enthusiasm and joy for London. And as I was thinking about today's sermon, I was struck with how the life of faith is similar. From time to time, it helps to see things through new eyes, to enliven and refresh our understanding of church, of scripture, and of God. Each week, we come together as people with different experiences, cultures, and beliefs, and so we can't help but see our faith in a new way. And this changes our lives. It affects the way we see the world and how we relate to one another. For as we encounter the presence of God in each other, we are humbled. When we come together for worship, as we partake of the sacrament, God meets us in a special way. In the mystery of bread and wine, in the mystery of relationship, we encounter God in the very reality of our life together. Amen.